That's right, that's right. Baruch Hashem. Well, good morning, everyone. Today's Daf in Bamasiya Zayin Zayin. Thanks, Lupin Foundation, for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf is on the Zechon Nishmach Lipik, Gabriela Bashmuel. Also for Nalias Neshama, for Michal Ben Shraga Feivel, Alevi. I didn't forget. We started the sixth parak of Bamasiya and its employment. It's all about the halachas of an employer-employee relationship. You remember the Mishnah. The Mishnah talked about where there was miscommunication between the employer and the employee, and what results of that miscommunication. So the Mishnah started off by making a statement. If you look back at the Mishnah talked about hiring workers. And there was a deception. A deception, a miscommunication, whatever, however you want to describe it. I'll leave intention out of the discussion for now. But anyway, there was a miscommunication between the two. So, Ein lahem zel zel tayroma. So they have a complaint, but that's all they have. There is no money that's going to be transferred one to the other as a result of the miscommunication, but there is going to be a legitimate complaint. So you go to the Better Business Bureau and you say, you know, let me tell you something about that contractor. He's no good. So, okay, so you lodge a complaint. I'm sure it makes you very happy. much happier now that you lodged the complaint. Anyway, what with the problem that we were dealing with yesterday was the language of hitu. Hitu is a strange language. If we're talking about a retraction, in other words, someone reneged on the deal. The employer said that I don't want them to work for me, or the employee says I don't want to work after they already contracted to work for one another. That one was going to work for the other. So the correct word in the Mishnah should be the word chazru. That's not the word used in the Mishnah. In fact, I showed you yesterday in the Mishnah does in fact use the word chazru. Right. Look at the last lines of the Mishnah. Right. In Balabais Chozer Bo Yadol Atachtona, V'Cholach Chozer Bo Yadol Atachtona. So clearly, the word that's used when there is a breach of contract between employer and employee is the word Chozer, and that's not what the Mishnah started off with. The Mishnah started off with the word Hitu. So, what is understood by the intent of that word? So, if you remember yesterday, we spent some time on Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. We got to the bottom of the Amud, where basically what we were talking about was it wasn't the employer hiring the employee, but rather the employer hired a worker, and that worker then went and tried to hire other workers as well. I described yesterday, it's like a general contractor to a certain degree. I'm a little bit hesitant about whether my comparison is great, but it's like a general contractor where he's hiring people to work for the Balabais, and then the Gemara gave a number of scenarios in which there was a misunderstanding / miscommunication / somebody was losing out on the deal. So that's basically what we looked at. On Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, we're going to pick it up now and towards the bottom. We're going to start with the word pshita. Okay, we did this yesterday, but this is a good starting point for today's discussion. Pshita, the Gemara says, here's where the Gemara says, I know it's obvious. And that is the Amalei Balabais Betlasa. Let's say the Balabais turns to the Shlich and he says, I want you to hire for me and I'm budgeting for you, and you are going to offer 3 zuz per day. And then and then along comes the contractor, the GC, and he turns to workers and he says, you know, he's ready to pay you 4 per day for your work. So now, and they say, okay, whatever the Balabais said. So now remember, from their perspective, they heard the number 4, even though the Balabais only offered 3. But they heard the number 4. So the Gemara says it's obvious. And what's obvious? That what their intention was is, since they heard the number 4, even though they said, yeah, sure, whatever the Balabais says, but that number 4 becomes the floor. That becomes the bottom of what they're ready to accept. Anything, what they meant when they said whatever the Balabais says is that if the Balabais is ready to pay more, so then, yeah, so then I'm interested. Then we're ready to hear even more. But for sure, the number 4 becomes the floor, even though they said whatever the Balabais says, and even though in actuality, the Balabais said 3. Now, so the Gemara says, okay, that's pashut, and there's nothing to discuss over there, but here now where the discussion becomes fun. Let's say the Balabais offers the number 4, and they say, meaning the general contractor, not they, but he says, amarluhu betlasa. So the general contractor says to the worker, and he says, you know, are you ready to work for 3 a day? And va'amre, and their response is, kamashamra Balabais, yeah, whatever the Balabais says. That's what we're going to do. So now here, even though they heard the number 3, but they also said, Al das Balabais, we're going to work based on what the number that was offered by the Balabais, unbeknownst to them, it was a higher number, but that's what they said. So now, so now when they are in agreement Are they in agreement in either A, the number that was proposed to them, assuming, of course, that what was given to them was an honest report of what the Baal Bayis said, or maybe no. Maybe they don't have a general trust of the general contractor, leave jokes aside, they don't have a general trust of the general contractor, and therefore, even though he threw out the number three, they said, whatever the Baal Bayis says, meaning, we have a funny feeling the Baal Bayis actually offered more, and we're not going to work based on your number, but based on the Baal Bayis' number. And so, the question on the table is the following. When a number is reported to you, and that number doesn't properly reflect what the Baal Bayis actually said, and you respond with whatever the Baal Bayis says, so now, who are you being reliant on? The number that was presented to you, or the actual number that was not presented to you? And as opposed to the previous discussion with the Gemara, says Pashut, it's Pashut because in that scenario, the number that you heard was a higher number. Here, the number you heard was a lower number, and so, question on the table, who do you rely on? Tashma. So the Gemara now is going to move this discussion to a seemingly totally different place, but the concept is basically going to be the same, and that is, the shlich makes a report, it does not reflect what was actually stated, and so who are you going to be reliant upon? And this is based on a Mishnah in Gittin. It's actually a Braisa, Tashma. Okay, and so that goes like this. So, the shlich was sent by the wife, and the wife said to the shliach, Havei legiti, I want you to go bring me my get. So, we know generally, I'm going to keep this discussion really simple, and that is that there are two types of shlichs when it comes to a get. There could be a possible third type of shlich, but for our purposes right now, let's call the number two and let's present it like two, and it'll be really easy. And that is, there's a shlich la'olach, a shlich la'kabbalah. There's either going to be a shlich to deliver the get, there's going to be a shlich to receive the get. Difference, of course, being is that a shlich la'olach is going to be a shlich of the Baal. Shlich la'kabbalah is going to be a shlich of the woman. And there's a very fundamental difference. If you're a shlich la'olacha and you're delivering the get is not going to be actually activated. The get will not be valid until it gets into the hands of the woman. If you're a shlich le'kabbalah, so that means then that the moment that the get reaches into the shlich's hand, she's representing the woman. So therefore, it's ki'ilu who went into the woman's hand, and therefore the get is going to be activated immediately. Okay. According to the Rambam, there's a very fundamental difference between Shlich La'olach and Shlich La'kabbalah. Rambam writes in Hilchos Gershon in the 6th Perek that when you set up a Shliach La'olacha, you do not need to do so in front of Eidim, meaning he's a regular Shliach. And like any other Shliach, you just simply appoint an agent. A Shlich La'kabbalah, the Rambam says, you have to set up with Eidim. You cannot set up a Shlich La'kabbalah. She cannot set up a Shlich La'kabbalah without the presence of Eidim. Much discussion why that should be, but that's the another, Rambam says a very fundamental difference between Shlich La'olach and Shlich La'kabbalah. So she turns to the witness and she says, I want you to act as a Shlich La'olach. That was her instructions to him. Havei legiti v'shtech amra iskabel legiti. So he goes over to the husband, he says to the husband, you know, I'm going to be a Shlich La'kabbalah. V'hu omer. Now remember, from the husband's standpoint, what did he hear? He heard the shlich say that he's going to be a shlich of Kabbalah, and meanwhile, that's not what she instructed him. She instructed him to be a shlich la'olacha. Now again, she can't appoint the shlich as such. Okay, admittedly, that part's a little bit tricky, but she did not set him up as a shlich of Kabbalah. Now, Heilach Kamasha Amra. And what is his response? The husband says, well, whatever she said. In other words, I'm giving the get to you as she said to you. So now, the report to him is that he was going to serve as a shlich la'kabbalah. In actuality, he was a shlich la'olacha. And he said, well, whatever she said. And so this is a parallel scenario in which it was not presented to him the way it actually was. So Amrav Nachman, Amrav Baravu, Amrav Afilu Higiget Liyadayna Megureshes. Now, in terms of the ruling over there, we have a very clear ruling. The Gemara gives in the name of Rav Nachman that the get is not going to be a get. Even when it gets to our hands, it's not going to be a get. So Shama Mina Dibor Didei Kasamech. So the Gemara says, so what do you see? You see that the shlich was being reliant on the way it was reported to him. He gave it to her as a shliach le'kabbalah, because that's how it was reported to him. And meanwhile, it's because he gave it to him as a shliach le'kabbalah, not as a shliach le'olacha, so therefore the get's not going to be a good get. Because the Gemara says, because really, remember, what did he say? He said, whatever she said. Right? That's the way he presented it. So the Gemara says that now, if that's the way he understood it, that's dibur didaka samach mechimata gita liyadam yitigarish. So at least remember, what did she actually say? She says shlich la'olacha. So at least let the shlich serve as a shlich la'olacha, which means that when the get actually gets to her hand, the get's going to be a valid get. So where does that bring us to? It seems to bring us to the point where, when being presented with misinformation from the shliach, so it seems to be that you're hearing whatever is being presented to you, and you're being reliant on whatever is being presented to you. At least that's what it seems that we're learning from the Braisa regarding the get. I'm Rav Ashi. We turn now to the top of Ayin Vav Amud Beis. Hachi Hashi. Rav Ashi says, really, not a fair comparison. Look, let's take a look at that case, and let's theorize what would be had it been presented in the following manner. If the case would have been presented where the opposite was said, his Kabbalah Giti, where she sets him up as a Shlech Kabbalah Vishach Amra Havali Giti, and he presents himself as a Shlech Olacha V'hu Amra Heilach Kamosha Amra, and he says whatever she said, V'amar Rav Nachman Amar Rav Abaravu Amar Rav Mishiagig Eli Adam Megarashin, and then the ruling would have been, again, all this didn't actually happen, this was not the case presented, and this was not Rav Nachman's ruling, but had this all been the case, and Rav Nachman would have said the Gerashin would be good the moment Mishiagig get liadom gerushas. The moment it gets into her hands, the gerushin is a good gerushin. Amada dibur didaka samach, which means that he's being reliant on what she says. Inami or mishigi get liadom gerushas. So or when the get gets to her actual hand, amada dibur didaka samach, which means that he's being reliant on what the shlich told him. So elahasam, sorry. So if those were the cases and that was the psak, so then the Gemara says, so then the conclusion would have been a fine conclusion. Because you see, as the Gemara now is theorizing, in either one of these cases, the get is a valid get. It's just a question of when it gets to the shliach's hand or when it gets to her hand. But at least there we know that it's going to work. And again, it'll tell us whether he was being reliant on the way shliach reported to him or on the way she reported to him. But you see over here in the case that was actually presented to us, what happened? Along comes the shliach. Now, he was set up as a shliach la'olacha. At least that's what she wanted. And then he presents himself as a shliach la'kabbalah. And he hands her the get, and Rav Nachman says the get's never good. Doesn't matter whether it gets to her, doesn't get to her. It's never good. So now, the Gemara is going to point out, from there we learn nothing. Not nothing. Let's not go that far. But from there, we cannot extrapolate to our scenario over here. Elahasa mishum de'akar shliach l'shlichus elegamre. You know what basically is happening over there? The shlich is basically saying politely, thank you, but no thank you. Meaning, I don't want. Remember, what did she want? She wanted him to be a shlich la'olacha. What does that mean? It means that you're going to do the following job for me. You're going to go to my husband, you're going to pick up the get, you're going to bring it to me, and then and only then the get's going to be a good get, because you're not going to be my shlich, you're going to be his shlich. That's the way she set it up. What did he say in response, meaning the shlich? Again, respectfully, what he's saying is, no way. No, that's not what I'm doing. Meaning what I'll do is I'll go over to your husband, I'll present myself as a shlich l'kabbalah. The advantage to him would be is that he just simply needs to take the get and that's it. He doesn't have to go back to her. So basically what he's doing is he's rejecting her offer of being a shlich l'olacha. He says, if anything, I'll be a shlich l'kabbalah. Now, of course, had he explained all this to her at the time, so then all this may have been worked out. But given the case as it is, when he is being handed now the get, effectively what he's saying is, I'm not going to be a shlich la'olacha. So it's just a simple rejection of him being a shlich la'olacha. The Gemara says that's the only thing we learn from that case. And we cannot extrapolate the question of, was he being reliant on what she said? Was he being reliant on what the shlich presented? It's just simply a rejection of shlichus, the Gemara says. So we got nothing. We got nothing that we can learn from that case over there. It is fundamentally a different case. Okay, shlich legamrei da'amalei shlich lechbala havina la'olacha lo havina. Fine. Adkan. Okay, so that brings us to the end of that section of the Gemara over there. So where do we stand right now in terms of our Mishnah? So as we discussed in yesterday's daf, the Mishnah of the Poalim Hitu Zedzeh, they deceived one another. So that's talking about various cases of the general contractor talking to the workers, making an offer, okay, etc., etc. And as far as the last scenario, which the Gemara was entertaining, whether or not he presented it one way, they said whatever the Baal Bayis Rabbi says, so the question still stands whether or not they were being reliant on the way that he presented it or on the way the actual Baal Bais said it. Ibai Seima now takes us all the way to the beginning of the whole discussion of the Gemara, and that is that maybe our whole premise is wrong. Meaning we had almost an amud of Gemara discussing the word hituzed, that's a little bit strange. It didn't say the word chozer. And so it can't be the employer and the employee, one of them reneging from the employment contract. That's what we thought up until now, which engendered the next amud of Gemara's discussion. Ibai Seima, the Gemara now says, nice and simple, hai tana chazu nami hitu karilei. Could be that our entire premise was wrong, and it could very well be that the word hitu can also be a reference to chazara. And the Gemara says, and I'll cite you a brisa. Now the brisa is going to be very long, and the truth of the matter is that just to make the point that we want to hear right now, we only need to hear the first line of the brisa. But still, we're going to hear the brisa, we're going to hear the entire brisa, and then it's going to segue into the rest of today's daf, which is going to be a discussion of all the points mentioned in the brisa. For our purposes, the reason why we're hearing the brisa right now is just to see that the word hitu can sometimes mean chozer. Ditanya. Here we go. Here's the beginning of the braisa. So you hire workers vihitu es bal habayis. Okay, check. We're done. Meaning that's the line of the braisa we wanted to hear. And they deceive the bal habayis. So you see the word hitu, it's we're obviously talking about the homeowner, we're talking about the employer. It's not a general contractor, and you see the word hitu. Okay, so that's it. Okay, but now that we're here, we're going to just go through the entire braisa. Hasochus omnim v'hitu v'es bal habayis, bal habayis hitu osan. So there's somebody reneged on the deal. Either the employer or the employee. Ein lahem zeh al zeh ela tarum. So, as long as it's before the work started, so they have a complaint, but again, that means that's all they have. There is no financial... There's no financial obligation one has to another, and all they have is taramis. But the Gemara then, the Brisa over here is very clear. That's only if they didn't start going to work. But let's say one was a donkey driver in order to be a courier, and he was supposed to move grain from one place to another. So he saddled his donkey, he already went on his way, hired by the employer, and now when he got there, there was nothing to deliver. Or... Poalim umatsu sadeh, or let's say there were workers and they got to the field, kishi lacha, and their job was to work the field, and the field now is already saturated with water. And so there's nothing for them to do. No silem scharam mishlam. Okay, so now we have a scenario in which they were hired by the employer, they went to the job, and nothing happened. Meaning they couldn't do anything, either because there was nothing to carry or because the field was wet. So, but over here, you have more than taromus, you have more than just complaint, you actually have a financial obligation. Now, the brisa says you have to pay full payment because you did contract them. But then the brisa mutes it a little bit. Now, even though, yes, you have to pay them the full amount, but the full amount for the job that they theoretically could do. Meaning, what can the courier do? The courier can carry a load that doesn't weigh anything. So in other words, it's not going to be the same, right? It won't be as much gas in the car, I say by way of analogy, if there are no passengers in the car. So over here, it won't cost as much for the courier to deliver if there's no wheat. And the same thing with the troop, with the workers on the field. Right now, what they can do is they can basically stand by the field, but there's no actual work for them to do. Obviously, whatever employment they're going to be doing now, just watching the field, is going to cost less. So, enodama havaton leva rekan, osa malacha liyoshev uvato. So basically, what you're going to do is you'll adjust the employment in terms of how much you're going to pay them for the work now that they, in theory, could do. Okay. Now, b'medvar mamorim shelo yischil b'malacha. Okay. Now, where do we stand right now in the brisa? So in the brisa, we talked about if there was somebody who reneged from the deal, either employer or employee, before the work started, taramus, a complaint, but that's it. If the work already began, if they went to the job, so then they have more than just a complaint, they can get paid at an adjusted rate. That's where we are so far in the brisa. Now, b'medvar mamorim shelo yischil b'malacha. Now, at this point, Rashi says that we are moving along and we're leaving the world of Schiris and we're entering into the world of Kablanus, like I mentioned yesterday. Basically, when talking about an employee, you're talking about either a day worker or a worker who is hired to do a particular job. So Rashi says, now from this point moving forward in the Braisa, we're talking about a Kablan, someone who's getting paid to do a specific job. And now the Braisa comments, Bamedvar Mamar Shalo Yischil Bamalacha. That's only talking about a case in which they didn't start working. Aval Yischilu Bamalacha, if they started working, Shamam Lahem Masha Asu. So now, if somebody backs out in the middle of the work of Kablanos, meaning it's a contracted job, so now we're going to approximate how much was completed and how much is left. Ketzad. So let's go over some numbers. Kablug, Kamalik Sorbishne Salim. Let's say they agreed that they were going to harvest the field and they were going to work for two salim. And again, not by the day, but by the job. Katzu chetzia. So then they cut half the field. V'hinichu chetzia. And they left half of it. Beged la'arog. Or they were given a garment to weave. And b'shnei salim. And they were told they were going to pay two salim for the entire job. Argu chetzia. V'hinichu chetzia. And again, they did only half. Shamal mem masha asu. So what we're going to do now is we're going to see what was done. Haya yafeh. Shisha dinarim. So let's say the amount of work that was completed was 6 dinarim. No sein lahem sela. O yigmaru malachtam. Let me say that again. Let me present this correctly. Haya yafa shisha dinarim. The Braisa now is dealing with the following scenario. Okay, let's say they're halfway through the job. Now, halfway through the job, it was a 2-cell job. Each cell is worth 4 dinarim. So it was an 8-cell, it was an 8 dinar job. And now they stopped halfway through. So in theory, now we should be at the between 4 and 5 point in terms of dinarim. And now what happens is that they stopped halfway through, and he's now needs to hire new workers, and the amount that the new workers are going to cost is going to cost more. Instead of having to cost 4 dinarim to do the second half of the work, it's going to now cost 6 dinarim. Employment went up. Okay, so now hayayafa shisha dinar nosalem sela o yigmur malachtam v'yitnu shnei salayim. So what's going to happen now is as follows, is that they're going to be paid a sela because that's the amount of their work they did. They'll finish the work v'yitlu shnei salayim, and they're going to be paid the 2 salayim. Now that point seems to be obvious. That's how much they were hired to work for to begin with. The Gemara later on is going to tackle that point. V'im sela nosin lahem, v'im sela nosin lahem sela. And if they stop working, so you pay for them a sela. So the Tanakama of this Bryce is of the opinion that despite the fact that they backed out halfway through the job, and now employment is going to cost more. From the employer's perspective, he's going to have to pay more in order to finish the second half of the job. Nevertheless, since they did half the work, and therefore they're entitled to half the pay. The entire job was 2 salim, they're therefore going to get paid 1 sela. Despite the fact that the owner is now going to have to pay, in order to do the second half, 6 dinarim instead of the 4 dinarim. One could have argued, in fact, strong argument, that shouldn't be the halacha. Remember what we learned back in the Mishnah. Learned that back in the Mishnah that if you reneg and you retract, yadol atachtona, so you shouldn't be in the driver's seat. So that means that from the employer's standpoint, he'll say to them, look, you backed out, I'm going to have to now shell out 6, I'm deducting that from your pay. So the Gemara is going to comment in a moment that the Tanakhama obviously does not subscribe to our Mishnah's ruling. Who does subscribe to our Mishnah's ruling? The next line of the Braisa. Rabbi Dosa Omer, Shamamahem, Hashasid Lehe Asos. Rabbi Dosa says, no, that's not going to be the formula. The formula is, we're going to find out what's left in the job. Hayya yafesh shisha dinarim, if 6 dinarim are left in order to finish the job, even though from the beginning it was only 4 dinarim. But again, employment went up. No sam shekel. So what now he does to the workers who now backed out halfway through the job is he hands them a shekel. A shekel is 2 dinarim. So he basically says to them, look, 8 for the whole job. You backed out halfway through, but it's going to cost me 6 to finish it. So you'll get 2, and that's all you get. Or you can finish the job and you can get paid 2 salayim. Those are your 2 options right now. So Rabbi Dosa is of the opinion yadol atachtona, that the employees who backed out are not in the driver's seat, and they don't have the upper hand, like our Mishnah says. V'im sela nosin lahem sela. Now if it's a seller that's left, so they pay them a seller. So which again is an obvious point, and the Gemara later on is going to deal with that. Ba medvar mamorim was still in the Braisa. I told you it was a long Braisa. And we already made the point that we needed to make, but we're here, so the Gemara is going to go through the entire Braisa. Now we're talking about things which are not perishable, and it's not time sensitive. Like we said in our Mishnah, if it's a job that's time sensitive, a wedding, a funeral, right, taking flax out of the water, things that are time sensitive, and now, if the workers back out, not only did they back out, but you may lose everything. So then, you hire other workers, or you deceive these workers to continue doing their job. Ketzan Matan, we didn't get this in the Mishnah, now we're getting this in the Braisa. What kind of deception are we talking about? Omer lehem, selah katzatzi lechem. You can outright lie to them. And you can say, look, what did I offer you? I'm ready to offer you a selah, bal vitlu, shtayim. I'll give you two if you finish the job. Not because you're actually going to give them two, but because you're allowed to deceive them for time-sensitive for time-sensitive work, where they agreed to do it from the beginning, and now they're backing out. So throw some more. Look like you're going to throw them some more money. 40-50 zuz for the job that they're going to do. In other words, you can look to throw at them a lot of money. Again, you're not going to give them that money. You're just doing those so that they can finish the time-sensitive work. Now, all this can be done, but only under the circumstance where there's no one else to hire. But if there are other people that you can hire to replace these people, so then, so if they are easily replaceable, so then what you're looking at is a complaint, but that's all you're looking at. Okay, Adkan. That takes us to the end of the Braisa. So basically what we got from this Braisa is that when they use the word hitu, it doesn't necessarily mean worker to worker. It could be employer to worker. But in the meantime, however, after finishing the entire Braisa, we also were treated to a host of halachas that describe what would happen under certain circumstances where the price of employment went up. What if the workers back out in the middle, etc., etc. Tanitanakam ad Rav. Okay, the following braisa was told over in front of Rav. No sein lahem scharam mishlam. Okay, not any braisa, but the braisa we just learned. So somebody said over this braisa in front of Rav, Amar le chavivi. So he says, chavivi. Chavivi is a reference to his uncle. His uncle is Rabbi Chia. The Gemara in the beginning of Pesachim told us that Rav was a nephew of Rabbi Chia, both on his mother's side and on his father's side. And if that's confusing, don't worry, it is confusing. But in the meantime, however, he says to his uncle, chavivi, Amar ilu ana havai lo havai yavina lahen, ela kepo bato. So Rav says, I don't understand. In other words, they backed out. Right. Remember, this was at the part of the Braisa where they backed out after having gone to the job. So, and there was no work over there. So Rav's response was, I'm not going to pay them for having actually worked. I pay them kisocher bato, for somebody who would be idle. That's what I would pay them. So v'atamar nosin lem schar mishlam. And Rav says to his uncle, and you think, at least you're teaching in your Braisa, that you should be paying a full amount? So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Remember the Braisa? Right? We just learned the Braisa a couple of minutes ago. That's exactly what the Braisa says. V'ha'alakitani. And the Gemara's question now is really simple. I don't understand. That's exactly what the Braisa is going to say. Eino dama hava litan lahava rekan. Ose malacha liyoshev avato. So the Braisa actually says you don't pay him the amount for a worker who is actually working. You pay him at an adjusted rate. So the Gemara says lo saimu kame. So once that suggests the Gemara is that Rav jumped on the Braisa before he got to hear the end of the Braisa. And so his comment, he basically forecasted what the Braisa was going to say, but he just didn't have enough patience to... Oh, I don't want to say that. That's not right. He interjected. Okay, it's the same point. He interjected before the Braisa was finished in front of him. Okay. Iga da amre saimu kame. So the Gemara says, or maybe the Gemara says, suggests the following. No. Really, the Braisa was said in front of him in its entirety. The Hachi Kamar. Now, what his response is, Chavivi, Amri Yavayana, lo hava yavina leklal. Now, Rav is not, at this point in time, not knowledgeable about the end of the Braisa. He is knowledgeable at the end of the Braisa, in the second suggestion of the Gemara. But rather, his response is, if you ask me, I wouldn't pay anything. The At... Amar kapol bato. So the Gemara says, Ela kashya hach. So the Gemara says, well, the Braisa doesn't agree with him. Now, Rav, of course, could disagree with the Braisa in theory, but the Gemara says, lo kasha. Ha de sari la'ari mi de'orta, ha de lo sari la'ari mi'orta. So the Gemara says, well, it depends. In other words, it could be that Rav is right and the Braisa is right, and they are talking about slightly different scenarios. And that is whether or not the field was surveyed the night before. Take a look at Rashi, Baden Rashi on the Amud. If they surveyed the field the night before and they saw that the field was not going to be able to be worked, and nevertheless they show up the next day to work, knowing that it's probably nothing for them to do, so Rav says, that's where I think they get nothing. However, lo sarim e'orta, so alav hayala seslev ledavar ula hodiam. Now, in the next scenario where the land was not surveyed, and now the balabayas should have been more careful. So, im tim susa delacha lo etein lachem klom v'yav lekabo bato. So now it was. Now this is part of the onus of the balabais, and therefore he's going to have to pay them again at an adjusted rate. But he's going to have to pay them, and that's how it could be that Rav's position, I wouldn't pay them klal, I wouldn't pay them at all, versus the Bryce's position where you pay them, but rather at an adjusted rate. Okay. Ki ha'adam Rav, and the Gemara says, and this really fits in with the statement of Rav. Statement of Rav. And that is, Haiman da'agigur l'rifka. Let's say you hire somebody in order to dig dishes. We just talked about this yesterday's daf. And va'asa mitra maila maya. And the night before, rain came, and it filled up the land, and there's nothing you could dig right now. Isari la'ar me'orta. Pseida de Poalim. So now, if the land was surveyed the night before and the workers knew that there was nothing to do during the day, so then when they show up to work the next day, they cannot expect anything. They're not going to get paid anything. That was their fault. They shouldn't shut up the next day. They surveyed the land the night before. Lo sari lara meorta, but if the land was not surveyed the previous night, so pseida de balabais, that means the balabais is going to have to lose. And he's going to have to pay his workers the next day at an adjusted rate, but he's going to have to pay them. V'amarava. So as long as now we quoted Rava, the Gemara is going to quote Rava another three more times, expressing various halachas as it relates to an employer and an employee. Haiman da'oga agar ledavla. Let's say workers were contracted in order to irrigate the field, and va'asa mitra, and then what happened before they showed up to work? It rained. No need for them to irrigate the field. You could turn your sprinklers off. Epseida to bo'alim. So that's going to be a loss to the workers. Asa nahara pseida to ba'abais. But if it's a river that came and caused the land to irrigate, so that's going to be a problem of the ba'abais v'yayiv le'kapo bato. Now it's a little bit difficult to understand, admittedly, the difference between rain and river. Okay, rain, that's going to be, that's a loss to the workers. River, that's a loss to the Baabais. Hard to really articulate the difference. Now, Rashi on the previous Amud talked about, I didn't quote this Rashi, I'm quoting it now. So Rashi talks about a question of mazel, right? If you look back at the previous Amud, and you look towards the bottom of the right, lo hava yavina klal, this was Rashi explaining Rav's position, de mazlayu garem. So the way Rashi presents it is that there's a certain mazel, right? Some people have good mazel, some people have bad mazel. So there's a certain mazel. So if you were hired to do a job and it rains, so that's your mazel. Meaning that's unfortunately, that's whatever. For whatever reasons, the Kadosh Baruch Hu feels that right now, that's not your work and that's not your job, so that you're going to have to suffer that loss. As far as the river is concerned, why the river becomes the owner's mazel, I can guess. I don't know how to really make a distinction, but I can guess the river is more connected to the land, and it's more a function of the land. The land is owned by the owner. The river is also connected, so that's a mazel of the owner.
Maybe it's sphere.
Or maybe could be. It could be.
The river came up and it just went into the land.
Should have told him. Okay, good. Okay, three. A third statement by Rava. So the workers were hired to irrigate the field. And then what happens in the middle of the day is that the river stops. So in other words, their source of water for irrigating the field is coming from the river. And then no more river. So bepagadiyuma. So ilo avidapasik pseda de poalim. So if this is something so unusual and so unlikely, so we turn to the workers and say, sorry, your mazel. It's unfortunate, but that's your loss. Avidapasak. So, but if the river stops all the time, we go rafting up in the southeast in the summertime, and some of the rivers are dam released. So it's on schedule, and they know exactly when the river's running. So the pasuk stated the problem of the pasuk. So the Gemara says, so if it's something that happens with regularity, even a masup stated the problem, la b'nei masup stated the balabais. So now, if the workers are locals and they know the schedule and they knew this was going to happen, so then that's something they should have been aware of, and that's going to be their loss. However, if the workers are out of town and they didn't know this, and the balabais did know that this was going to happen, so that's a balabai's problem, and he's going to have to suffer that loss. Number four, fourth statement of Rava. V'amarava. Haimandagar gurla avidatei. V'shalam avidatei bepagadiyuma. So let's say you hire workers to work for the day, and then halfway through the day, so they finish the job. Now, let's imagine over here that we're talking about schiris, we're talking about getting paid for the day, not for the job. And halfway through the day now, they're finished. Okay, so they were assigned to do something and they're done. So, bepagadiyuma. So now, they were expected to work for the entire day. And now, if you have a job that's lighter than the one that they're currently doing, so in our Gemara we have the Girsa Yaiv Lahu, the Gemara takes out those next two words, inami dekavase, or you have a job that's commensurate in effort, in strenuous, as the one that they've been doing previously, so then mefakid lahu, so then instruct them to keep working at a job that is either equal or less than the one that they are that they were doing up until now, and fine. The kashamina, but if the only work you have for them is harder work than the one that they were contracted to do, hired to do, lamevakid lahu v'nosel mischaim mashlem. And so they're off for the rest of the day, but they are going to get paid for the rest of the day. So the Gemara says, amai v'leis v'lei kapo abato. So the Gemara says, now, if that's true, at least adjust the amount you're going to be paying. They're not actually working for the second half of the day. So like we learned in the Braisa earlier this morning, so make an adjustment for that. So the Gemara says, ki kamarava ba'ach lushe d'mechuza. So the Gemara says, no. We're talking about workers of achlushe d'mechuza. We'll get to that term in just a moment. The li lo avde chalshe, if they don't work, they're going to become lazy. They're going to become weak, I should say. Look at Rashi, achlushe d'mechuza. Rashi says, b'mechuza shu iro shal rava. Hayu b'nei adam arigil maseis masaos tamid. So in the town of Rava, which was the town of Mechuza, so there were people who carried burdens all the time. And then what happens is you take a vacation. I say this annually. Coming back to work after a long vacation, it's the worst. So, and it's the only reason why it's bad is because I'm just not used to working. So, right, I like my afternoon nap. Okay, this is a lot of personal information I'm giving away. So, but in other words, but working is good, and it's good to work. And so, what ends up happening is that you take off some time, and that's it. You're no longer in the rhythm. So the Gemara says, so over here, so you're going to be paying them, and you're going to be paying them a full amount. And the truth of the matter is, it's best to find them some sort of work. Again, commensurate or less than that which they're doing. But what you cannot do is you can't just simply say, okay, the job is over, guys can go, and I'm going to pay you kiyoshe batel, as if you're doing nothing. The objective is not to get them to that point, because once they do that, so then they're going to just get used to not working. Amar Mar. Okay. So we went over four statements of Rava, which was brought to us as a result of the fact that the Gemara was quoting part of the Braisa in front of Rav. Rav made a comment. the comment was the same thing the Braisa said. So one of two possibilities in terms of what Rav meant, segueing into four statements of Rava, and now we go back to the Braisa. And what the Gemara is going to be doing for the rest of the daf today is basically picking apart the Braisa bit by bit. Amar Mar, Shema Memet Masha Asu Ketzad Hayayafa Shishi Dinar Nosel Masela. So the Gemara says we're talking now about the workers who back out in the middle of the contracted deal. The deal was to, again, it was as Rashi pointed out, it's not schiris, it's kablanus, it was a job that they were supposed to do. It was, the total job was 2 salim, 8 dinarim, and then halfway through they backed out. The price of employment went up, and now for him to get the job done, it would cost the Balabai 6. There may be, but again, Mishapar is just a curse. It could very well be, but that's not going to create a financial liability. It'll be a curse. So over here, so in the Tanakama's position, so what you're going to do is you're going to you're going to pay them 4 because they worked halfway through, and the next people who employ, you're going to have to pay them 6. So Kasavre, Gemara makes the observation which we already made in the Braisa. Gemara says Kasavre Rabban Yad Pol Aliona, that the worker has the upper hand, meaning that the worker can leave in the middle of the job and not be financially affected, meaning they're not going to get paid for the work they don't do, but they're not going to get deducted if, in fact, the next employee that's going to be hired is going to cost the Baal Bais more. It's not going to affect them. So the Yad Paul is Al Hal Yona. That is the position of the Tanakhama of the Braisa. Obviously, Rabbi Dosa and the Braisa disagrees, and we'll talk more later on. Rabbi Dosa obviously supported by our Mishnah. We'll come back to that point later. They also have an option of finishing the job and getting paid 2 salim, which was the contracted price from the beginning of the job, Pshita, which prompts the Gemara to ask the obvious question. Well, if that's what the job was contracted to do, and they finish the job and you pay them 2 salim, I don't think we need a Braisa to teach us that. That's kind of obvious. So the Gemara says, Lotzricha diyakar avidatai. V'imru po'alim. V'azo ba'avaisu paisinu. So the Gemara says that basically now we're in the middle of a labor dispute where workers found out that employment went up. So right now they're in the middle of the job and they know that had they contracted right now, they would have gotten paid more. So you have disgruntled employees. So the Baal HaBayis goes over to them, and what the Baal HaBayis does is he starts appeasing them. Now, what exactly he says to them, so I'd love to know. in order to keep them on the job. But he definitely said something. Now, I know the employer said something, because now, again, there's a havamina. But their taina could be, well, you came over and you appeased us and you said things. Again, I don't know what he said, but we thought that part of the appeasement is that we're going to get paid more. Now, again, I'm just throwing out a curiosity. Did he actually promise them more? I can't imagine, because then... I'm admitting that I don't know what he said, but their thinking now is that they're going to get paid more. And he says to them, no. What I just meant is that when you go to the coffee room, so what you're going to find over there is it's going to be nicer than it normally is. Right? Normally, what is there? There's coffee? Okay, so there'll be, you're right. you'll find something nicer in the coffee room, in the break room. But that's, in other words, that's all he has to offer. And the Chiddush then and the Bright says that despite the fact that employment goes up, and even where there was some sort of negotiation between employer and employee in the middle of the labor, but still he doesn't have to pay them more. That's the Chiddush of the Braisa, which parenthetically, now that's a Chiddush. Okay, Sela Nosein Lahem Sela. Now, Pshita. So the Gemara says, well, and if all the amount is that it costs in order to finish the job is a Sela, so and they worked a Sela, so then you're going to give them a Sela. Meaning, they did half the job, you pay them a Sela. And again, the Gemara says, I think now it's pretty obvious. Meaning, if they did half the job and the full job is two salayim, so then that's easy math, and we can handle that. So the Gemara says, "Lo tzricha dezal avidatai mikara ve'agrinu bitzfei zuze." So the Gemara says, "Well, goes like this. Originally, employment from the beginning was actually pretty cheap, and what the Balabais did in order to encourage them to work is he offered them an extra zuz because." Employment was so cheap, and it was hard for him to find people who would work for that cheap. Even though, by the way, parenthetically, that was the going rate, but it was still hard. So what he needed to do was he needed to throw a little bit more people in order for them to work. He was ready to offer his zuz. Well, the Sophie Yakar Avidata. Now, what ends up happening is that in the middle of their job, employment now goes up. The Kambitfei Zuze. And it actually went up more than the little incentive, the little bonus that they received at the very beginning. So So I might have thought as a Havamina that they could say to him, Tfei Zuzi Amartlan, Tfei Zuzi Havlan. Well, look, at the beginning of the employment, you know you were ready to throw us a little bit extra anyway. And employment did go up, and it went up higher than the ones that's extra that you promised us. So you know what? I think it's fair for us to expect now that not only are you going to give us a bonus set from the beginning, but you give us actually extra bonus. Look, you were ready to pay more anyway. So kamash blan damar lahu. And so now the chiddush of the price is no. In other words, whatever was promised and pledged at the beginning of the contracted employment, that's it. And ki amar lahu tfei zuze, and he says to them, look, you're right. At the beginning, I was ready to pay you a little bit more than what the going rate was. But over there, back then, you didn't know you had a job. So over there, yeah, I gave you a little bit of extra. It's true. But to incentivize you in order to work. But now, you've got a job. You know you're going to get paid. So now you want me to pay you more? No, that's not happening. Rabbi Dosa Amar Shaman Lahem is Masha Asi Le'aso Sayyafish Shidinarim, No Salman Shaka. Okay. And in the Brisa then, we turn to the opinion of Rabbi Dosa, and Rabbi Dosa says, well, if they back out halfway through the contracted job, the full job was 8 dinarim, and they back out halfway through, and now employment goes up, and the Baal Bais is going to have to pay 6 in order for the job to get done, well, that's just simply going to be a deduction for these guys who backed out, and they're only going to get paid 2. Kasava Yad Pol HaTachtona. And here the Gemara now notes, Rabbi Dosa is in agreement with our Mishnah, which is they don't have the upper hand. They're going to finish the job and they're going to get paid 2 salim. Pshita again. What's the chiddush over here? If they finish a job, they're going to get paid 2 salim. That is the contracted agreement from the beginning. So the Gemara says, Lo tzricha, dezal avidatai. So the Gemara says, well, no. Chiddush over here is as follows. Really, employment now went down in the middle of their employment. So now he had to go and appease them. So maybe I could have thought that he says to them, well, you know, I was expecting to pay you even less. Considering that employment went down, Kamash Malan, the Amri, they say back to him, Adaitan David Alecha, Avida Shapirta. Well, we know that employment went down, and we know that, you know, we wouldn't have fetched such a high price for our work, but you know what? Here's how we'll make it up to you. We'll do better work. So we'll whatever that means. But we'll do better work, and so therefore we are still going to expect and be entitled to the original contracted job. Sela no stain. Sela pshita, the Gemara on this last point, where if there's a sela left worth of work, so they, the ones who are backing out, are going to get paid a sela. Pshita amaravuna, breder of nazan, lo tzricha do zilu inu gabe, zuze. So the Gemara says that the chiddush over here is that they got paid less than a zuz, meikara. Ulevesof avidata. And eventually, the value of employment went down. The price went down. So maybe now I could imagine the employer saying to them, look, everything dropped, the employment dropped, I'm going to give you a zuz less. So again, in the beginning, where work was so cheap and the price was so low, so they said, the employee said to the employer, we were ready to take a little bit less, But that's because we didn't know we were going to have a job. But hashakim lecha, but now you know you have workers. We know that we have a job. So now whatever the contracted agreement is, that's what it's going to be. Amar Rav halacha k'Rabbi Dosa. And let's finish up now with the following, and that is what the halacha is. So again, a machlok is in the brisa when you have contracted employees backing out in the middle of the job. So are they going to get paid commensurate to what the job they did? Or do you factor in the fact that employment may go up, and so where are we deducting it from the first workers? The Tanakhama says we don't deduct. The Rebbe Dosa says we do deduct. And Rav says, and the halacha is we do deduct. And the yad poel al hatachtona. The worker is not going to be in the driver's seat. Tomorrow we start off with the fact that Rav seems to indicate otherwise based on other halachas that he said, and we're going to come to a clear picture of Rav.